we're going to bring in Garrett Temple. Garrett, we're discussing your newest teammate, Malik Williams. And Blake had a really good rundown of sort of just his last, like, year to date. I'm curious in terms of just when did Malik join the team and how much preparation did he have before going up against Minnesota last night?
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Also, good morning as well. Thank you for joining us, as always.
He joined the team yesterday. And so we didn't have a shoot around because it's a back to back. So we had a team like meeting in the morning, well, around 12 o'clock in Minnesota. And, I think he went to the gym before that just to, with the guys that weren't going to play, just to kind of walk through plays and get to know a couple of the, things that we do on offense and defense. And then went through shoot around and coach said, I mean, went through our team meeting and coach said at the team meeting, this has got to be the first time in history that, or one of the first times in history that a guy comes straight from the G League and starts right away. Mm. So, that hasn't played one NBA minute. So, and he gets to go against Rudy Gobert and Naj Reid. So, right into the fire, the number one team in the West. So yeah, it was yesterday. So we all met him. I met him yesterday. Obviously Jordan knew him. Jordan mm-hmm. played with him, I think, in college. And so, yeah, he thrust right into the fire right away.
How much different is that? Like, obviously, we've asked you a couple times about Jamias Ramsey, Kobe Simmons coming in, Javon's coming in and stuff. When it's a big man instead of a guard coming in, how different is that adjustment for you as a leader, but also the team getting used to that guy or that guy picking up the system and stuff?
I think the biggest difference is not necessarily whether it's a guard or a big. I think it's a whole different team. Like he didn't come from 905, so he doesn't know our coverages and what we call. And the fact that he's so young. So Jamias played in Sacramento for, you know, a year or two, and Javon has played in the league again before. I think the fact that he didn't come from our system and the fact that this was his first NBA game was probably the biggest difference, more so than the big and small. Him being a big, I'm able to tell him, you know, things of that we like to see as bigs. I asked him what his game like. Do you roll? Do you pop? He let me know. He was like, I'm not a lob guy. Just letting you know that now.
Okay. All right.
You know, I got some touch. You know what I'm saying? I got floaters and I could shoot a little bit. But, you know, just so I need to know what his game is so we can make sure we play off each other the right way. If I'm looking for him to be a Mo G, then, you know, I got to ask him about that. You know, if he's a guy that can pass it. So it's just a matter of getting to the nuances, especially since he's going to play a lot of minutes. You know, obviously the other guys that come in when they sign these contracts, they may not even play the first game, you know, the second game. And so the other guys, you kind of, Jamias, I was able to play with him in like the conditioning league and play groups mm-hmm. a couple of times early on. So I knew his game. I could tell he could shoot. I could tell he was a defender. With Malik, the first time I played with him was at tip-off. So it's just a different dynamic there.
Yeah, that's got to be really unique. I thought you were going to say, I'm going to offer him tips as a fellow big. Because I was going to say, you spent a decent time guarding Naz Reid as well last night, you know?
No, I started on him, no question. I mean, I was guarding AD.
Yeah.
I told AD, you know, my wife sent me a screenshot of Bron telling JJ on his podcast, like, yo, they got Garrett Temple at the five, at X5 right now. And that's just that's the situation we're in right now, man.
Yeah.
I definitely spent a lot of time guarding Nas, fellow LSU guy, mm-hmm. love him to death, love how his growth, you know, talk about somebody that was, you know, kind of counted out. After going, like, it was very great coming out of high school.
Yeah,
LSU. He did, you know, whatever reason, went undrafted. Was always very talented. Just glad to see him thriving. But nah, that's the situation we're in. And you know, my thing is, I've always loved challenges, and I think the best teams, every player on the team takes whatever challenge the coach gives them and tries to thrive in that. And so that's what I try to show to everybody around. Like, I don't care. You want me to guard AD? Great. Yeah. Let me guard him. You want me to guard Ann Edwards? Great. Whoever you need me on, whatever you need us to do, let's go do it to the best of our ability.
Well, I mean, this is why when people talk about leading by example, like this is exactly that. I mean, you know, the team's obviously in a difficult situation, right? We're talking about, like, you know, you're bringing in Malik. He's goes through walkthrough and then immediately starts against, you know, the number one team in the West. You know, you are a guard. Let's be honest, right? You played some point guard, you played some shooting guard. Now you're guarding AD. By the way, you did get a chase down block on AD. You know, like a little. I think they call it a steal, but
yeah.
We were cheering from upstairs when we saw that. We were like, yeah, Garrett, do it for the Raptors show.
So the thing is, though, I'm going to talk about that. Yeah. I stole AD the ball when he tried to post me up in the first half. I stole the ball.
Yeah.
The one that everybody thought was a block, I got to be honest. I didn't block that. RJ blocked that.
Oh.
It looks like I blocked it.
It did look like you blocked it. Yeah.
I saw the film, and it looks very much like I blocked it, but it's just the way it looked. I feel like RJ got his hand on it. I didn't. Or maybe we just both fouled him and it looked like a block.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I got to be honest, that wasn't me. I appreciate it, though.
Wow. Okay. Well, still, you're going out there, you're proving by example. But I think the more difficult thing for the younger guys is, like, how do you not just, like, let go of the rope, right? Because I do feel like, you know what, we can all see the situation. You guys are playing with eight guys. A lot of these guys are inexperienced. People aren't expecting wins. But when it gets to that point where it's like, all right, it's a 48-point loss, it's a 40-point loss, it's a 30-point loss. A lot of that just comes down to, like, guys letting go of the rope at a certain point and starting to play sloppy. And I thought a lot of that happened last night as well. I don't know. I guess my question is, how do guys not do that?
It's just the mentality. It's a mindset. It's a competitiveness that, you know, I think you have to have in order to be a really good team. So individually, you have to have it to have a long career, have a good career, and then you have to have enough guys that have that mentality to have a really good team. And then obviously talent, you know, on top of that makes you championship caliber. But I think it's, you know, that's one thing we say, no matter who we have, because you see these teams like Washington, you see these teams like Memphis beating teams.
Yeah.
So it's not about winning the game, but it's about being competitive. And I think the last two or three games, we haven't done that. And we gotta fix it, because it's not going to get any easier. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. So we have to have a mindset of exactly what you said, not letting go of the rope at any point, and coming out here and competing every single night as best we can.
Okay, so you play against that team last night, and obviously that's a really tough loss for you guys. It's the biggest one that you've had as an NBA player. It's the biggest one the Raptors have had. Some of that is also the Wolves are really, really good. What do you make of that? I guess also we joked, you know, we just talked about you guarding Anthony Davis and Naz Reid. You were also guarding Anthony Edwards.
So
I guess I want to start on that. Like how, like if we're talking about the toughest one-on-one guys to check in the league right now, like how high up there is Anthony Edwards?
Oh, he's very high. He's extremely high up there. Obviously I haven't, the last year and a half, kind of, I haven't been in the practice of guarding guys, just being completely honest, not playing, but I think back to when I was playing a lot and being the guy, like I'm guarding the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing Ant, the thing about him, he's so athletic. He's so offensively gifted. He has basically every shot in his bag, and he's willing to take every shot. Like he's not a guy that's the one thing that he can grow. Just reading the game and understanding when to take his spots and, you know, but as a one-on-one guy, he's got to be top five for sure. You know, with his physicality, his athletic ability, he's probably top three in terms of toughest to guard. And then he started making threes against us. He was off the last three, four games, and he started hitting them against us. So, yeah, he's very tough to guard. Very tough to guard.
What about this Wolves team as a whole? Again, you mentioned they're at the top of the West. The top of that West is crazy. We don't know what the timeline is like exactly for them to get Karl-Anthony Towns back, but they're the number one defense in the league, like by far statistically. How far do you think that team can go after seeing them like that?
I think the biggest thing is their defense, man. You know, they have so much length on the defensive end. You know, guys were talking about it at halftime. You know, Grady maybe mentioned, he's like, James McDaniels, I pump faked him and he flew by and then he still blocked my shot. Like, yeah. How does that happen? and the relentlessness that they play with on defense.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have guys that can guard on ball, and then you can just send them to Rudy. You know, Rudy's a guy that changes shots, you know, deters shots. I think the one thing, the one concern about them in the playoffs is just experience. You know, that's why they brought in Mike Conley, and Mike's going to be great for them, calming them down. But he's only one guy. Kyle Anderson has great experience, but and Rudy as well. But their guys, Ant and Cat, this is going to be, you know, when Cat comes back, them being able to mesh all three of those bigs that all three can play and all three have big impacts on the game. I think for them, getting Cat back as early as they can will be, you know, paramount. And they have the ability to match up well with different teams because they can go big and small. It's just going to be the experience. And them going through the, you know, Ant and Cat honestly going through the growing pains of different playoff situations, matchups, learning how to read the game in the playoffs. If, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they go, depends on who they match up against too. You know, it's all about matchups in the playoffs. Like, you got Phoenix at 7, who's beating everybody by 20 and 30 now, you know? Is it going to be the Lakers? Is it going to be Golden State? You know, like, you never know who they're going to play against. So it's going to be very, very interesting, but their defense is their calling card right now, and I think they'll be able to lean on that, and that bodes well for them.
Yeah,
that bodes really well for them.
Gary, you mentioned the fact that Minnesota has this, like, relentlessness on defense, right? They really get after, and, you know, for a long time, and you've been in the league and you play Minnesota a lot, like, that was not what they're known for. In fact, it was like the opposite. You know what I mean? Like, Minnesota was like an unserious team for a long time, or their young team, like, trying to figure things out. But you would never say they were a defensive, like, you know, like, they get after it on defense. I think obviously you add Rudy Gobert, right? A guy who's won so many defensive player of the years. That's going to help. You add Jaden McDaniels, sorry. We're too used to saying Jalen, his brother. Jaden obviously really gets after Anthony Edwards. When he really wants to, he really locks in too.
Yeah.
So, but is it like the players bring that intensity, or is it the coaching with Chris Finch? Like, how do you generate that defensive identity and that defensive intensity that you need to win at a high level?
That's a great question, Will. You know, Chris Finch was my first coach in the NBA, in the pros. He coached me in the G League.
Oh, word.
With the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. It was his first year coaching over here, my first year playing. Love Chris, love Finchy to death. Gave me a lot of confidence on the offensive side of the ball. He's an offensive mind. Now, I think Finch understands you have to play defense in order to win games. Win championships, you have to be a top 10 defensive team. But he also has such a great offensive mind, so he delves this responsibility defensively to his defensive coordinator. But a lot of it has to do with your personnel. You know, they've done a great job bringing in guys that can guard. And, you know, they've, I guess, reiterated to them that defense is what is going to help us win. You know, we have guys that can score for us. And like you said, Jaden, obviously, Kyle Anderson is a very underrated defender. Rudy, obviously, Mike on the ball is really good, just understands. And Ant on the ball is a beast. Now, off the ball, he gets a little, you know, relaxed and lackadaisical and loses guys. A lot of high-end guards do that in the NBA. I mean, John Wall was like that when we played in D.C. On the ball, he's a monster. And then off the ball, he just, you know, he'd lose guys because he's kind of uninterested off the ball. On the ball, it's competitiveness. I'm athletic. I can just lock you up. So that's a, you know, one thing that he has to get better at. But I think it has a lot to do with the coach letting guys know what we need to do, but then the personnel that you have actually having the mindset of doing it. And because at the end of the day, it's an old adage. Coaches can't go out there and play. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So it's about the guys on the court doing the actual defensive schemes that are out there. Any scheme can work if you do it at a high level and you have the personnel to do it right. You know, Rudy Gobert is much better in a pick and roll defense, dropping, keeping, you know, stopping the lobs than I would be. He's 7'2", and you know what I'm saying? So personnel definitely matters. And you just have to have the coaches just putting you in a situation to utilize the personnel the right way.
Speaking of personnel being utilized in different ways, I want to go outside the Raptors here, but to someone Raptors relevant, someone you were doing shooting competitions with earlier in this year, Malachi Flynn dropped a 50 piece last night. When you check your phone and you see that, first of all, like statistically, it is the least likely 50 point game in NBA history. Nobody has ever had a lower scoring average and dropped 50 than Malachi Flynn. So out of nowhere, he was even with Detroit, he was only averaging 6 points a game before this one with the Pistons. How surprised were you? And then second to that, how happy for him are you?
So I found out when I was walking in the locker room, and I was, you know, people got to understand, I love Mal like a brother. When he got traded, you know, we were in the room, we, you know, upset together. Love my young fella, man, like, for real. He was one of the close, he was one of the closest guys I got to on the team before the trade. And so when I heard it, I was, you know, kind of upset that I heard that, because we should be thinking about a 50-point, we should be thinking about a 50-point loss. But once the air cleared and we, you know, calmed down, I knew I had to hit him. I heard he was 18 for 25. So we get on the plane, I text him, then I FaceTime him, and I was, ecstatic for him because of what he's going through this season, you know, having a chance to actually show that he can be an NBA player this year, and then getting traded to New York, and then getting traded to again. And then being in a situation where he was backing up, you know, he's the third string guard on a team that's, you know, has the second worst record in the league, being in his fourth year. And I talked to him. He said, bro, I didn't even think I was going to play. Wow. You know, Cade was still playing until, you know, and with Cade and Sasser play, then I'm out. I don't play. He's like, Cade was playing until like the, till right before we tip off. He just couldn't go. And I got to play. And I said, tell me about it, man, how I felt. He said, I just, you know, got a couple minutes to fall and some free throws early on, and it was up from there. Off the bench, man, 34 minutes. And yeah, I think he didn't even start the second half. He came in like the 6-7 minute mark and had 33 in the second half, man. And I got to go back and I got to watch it. You know, I hit him up right away. You know, me, him and Dennis are in a group chat. We were really close. And I text the group chat, and Dennis said, yeah, man, I hit him right after the game. So I FaceTimed him, and I was just hyped. I was so excited for him, man. It was crazy. I was talking to some guys in Minnesota. Anthony Tolliver was at the game. I went and talked to him after the game, and we talked about Malachi at 50, and it brought up Corey Brewer's 50.
Yeah.
And
that was like 20 transition layups.
That was such, yeah, that was so unlikely, because nobody, Corey Brewer having 50. And then I said, yeah, but Mal's is probably more unlikely. And then, like you said, you read the stat. It's the most unlikely 50 ever. But I'm so happy for my guy. So happy for him.
For sure. Yo, you know, honestly, you're putting in perspective, but, like, I know you've been around a lot of trades and all that kind of stuff. You've been on multiple teams yourself, but, I mean, like, the reaction, the fact that, you know, you and Malachi were close, he gets dealt. You and Dennis were close, he gets dealt. OG, everyone loves OG. Like, he's such a lovable guy. Yeah. He gets traded. Obviously, as part of that trade, Precious, Pascal, you know, like, I don't know, man. Like, how does a locker room recover after all those, like, you know, big departures like that? Well, people that, like, you know, had time and investment here in Toronto.
This is the most eventful season I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. I mean, it's hard to recover. It's very difficult to recover. You know, you got to think about a guy like Chris Boucher that's been here so long and seen so much change in this year. And then gets injured, you know what I'm saying? You think about Scotty, who was with those guys for, you know, his first 3 years, and then so much change this year. It's just, it's not easy. But not the middle ground, but one side of the NBA. You know, the NBA, there's business, you know, they might have one or two trades. It's on you on this side, one or two trades, and then, you know, yeah, maybe three or four, you're on this side, but then we're on the other side of it with probably the most trades I've seen on a team since I've been on, for sure, the most turnover on a team. So it's the league, it's the business we're in. And, you know, you do this obviously to find some type of sustainability in a roster. And that's what it is.
Okay, before we let you go here, Garrett, this weekend it'll be officially announced, but Shams broke the news yesterday. I don't know why we need to break the news on stuff like this early, but your boy Vince is going into the Hall. What's that like? Like, is he allowed to talk about it yet, or it's not official? Like, are you allowed to text him about it and say congrats, or are you waiting until the official? How's that been?
Nah, you know, I told y'all about the group chat we had. Yeah. So I text Chauncey first, and then I text, and then I think Jay Jax text our group chat with me, him and G Hill, and said, an old man going into the Hall. Because we had texted him when he got nominated, obviously.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, it's unreal. So, I mean, to answer your question, I'm allowed to text him. I don't have nothing to do with it. I'm going to just, if it doesn't happen, I'm like, oh, my fault, bro. I'm just going off what, you know.
Yeah.
They're never wrong, right? Yeah. But, yeah, he's ecstatic, man. And it's just, you know, both of those guys' careers, him and Chauncey. But Vince is, I mean, I think Vince was so underrated as a player. I mean, he was looked upon more as like a superstar because of his dunking ability, but what he did game to game, and you know, in terms of scoring the ball, like was elite. And, you know, it's great to see him get his flowers. I'm excited for him, man. I'm really excited for him, for sure.
Well, that'll be the first Raptor officially to go in the Hall, which would be really, really good. And hopefully he's followed soon after by two more, Kyle, DeMar. I mean, I feel like these guys are all your friends, basically, man. You might be one of the most popular guys in the league. This is what we're figuring out off of all these interviews. He's like, yeah, I texted Chauncey. I'm like, what? What's the connection there, you know? But, yeah, you know.
Chauncey, my first, like, one of my, I think my second start in the NBA. Fourth start in the NBA.
Yeah.
I was with the Spurs, and I was playing against Chauncey Billups. And Antonio McDyess was the starting four for us in San Antonio. It's my rookie year. And he came up to me before the game and was like, Chauncey was asking about you because I'm playing point guard. I'm going against Denver. Chauncey Billups, JR, Nene, Carmelo. Oh, yeah.
That was a talented team.
The squad in Denver. And I'm like, well, what did he say? He was like, he was just asking me about your game and stuff. So we won the game after the game. Mm-hmm. Chauncey was like, I like your game, young fella. You're going to be all right in this league.
Wow.
Dang, big shot talking to me, man. Golly.
Yeah.
So since then, we've been tight. And yeah, that's my guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Garrett, man, we appreciate you. We could talk to you like for the entire show.
If we
show.
Didn't have a pre-tape to air in the next segment, yeah.
Yeah, we got to bump you for Eric Corey, man. Blame Coach Corey for that one, all right? All right?
No problem, bro.
I appreciate you, Garrett, and we'll catch up with you again.
Thanks, y'all.